Play On Canada podcast. We have Play On Royalty here today on the episode, the Bulls. And here are some fun facts that I'll love to share. First played at Hamilton 2004, won the Elite Division. They were amazing. Attended national championships, lost in the finals to Calgary. Won national championship in 2009 in Windsor. And traveled to at least one national championship in Victoria. So you guys have been legends of Play On. So it's great to have you guys on the podcast. So thanks for doing this and introduce yourselves individually. Share with the world who you are.
Yeah, go ahead, maybe Chevy, up to you. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, sounds good. My name's Andrew Chevy Platt. Chevy's my nickname. I go by Andrew in my work life and Chevy in the ball hockey life. Our Durham Bulls team, we've been in existence for 20 years now and awesome group of guys. As you mentioned, Play On was, you know, the highlight of our team's career. It was just exciting to be a part of, awesome to connect with Scott way back in 2004. Just been nice to be a part of it. We play ball hockey for the last 20 years. Like I said, I've been fortunate enough to be on the men's team Canada and Masters team Canada the last few years, but I always hold our Play On championship, above some of the other gold medals that I've won because it was with our group of friends and it meant a lot.
Yeah, sure. Mike Dasiak, so been playing obviously ball hockey with these guys for a very long time in the Durham loop. Father of five, so I have five kids. Happy wife, hopefully. Worked really hard during the day at Corporation with IBM, and I also do coaching and work with a lot of medical patients. So I'll do a lot of stuff for hockey players and NHL players and a lot of athletes that are looking to improve. And I say that because working with these guys over the years, you see the intensity, you'll probably hear about in this podcast, and with the will to win and what it takes to try and be the best you can be each game, you know, tournament in, tournament out, you know, through injuries. And again, they're like brothers, right? The seven of us on this team here, only three of us today, and even the 20 back on our regular team, have been brothers for so long. And we really transcended that to the Play On championships, which has been excellent. We've done it for many years. Scott puts on a great program, and we look forward to coming back.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if we'll put it as well as Mike, but yeah, my name's Sean Brown. Father of two boys. I don't have to go to boxing soon, so keeping the Bulls' reputation in one way or another going. Grew up in Oshawa, grew up on a dead-end street, where from the time I was two, I'd see the guys out playing road hockey. So, you know, it was perfect place to grow up and start playing ball hockey. It was my whole life when I was a youth. And probably, you'd think it'd be just your youth, but for some of us, extended into our adulthood, being a big part of our life. And then, yeah, just the connection the Bulls had, I think that's why we were successful. We were all brothers and on and off the ice. So, yeah. The Play On was one of the, we all know, was one of the greatest moments of our life, winning that thing. So.
Like Vince said at the top of the show here, just talking about all the national championships this unit has played through. There's certainly lots of time we could spend talking about those games and all the post hit, the trick plays you did. But one thing I would love to know is how this band got together. Yeah, and I know it mentioned it, like you guys were brothers off the streets there that kind of helped unite this group. Like, what kind of kickstart you guys to want to be like, all right, let's form a team and let's do this? Like, tell me about the stages of how the Bulls came together.
Like I said, our group's been together for 20 years. The Durham Bulls, that team has been in existence for like 30 years. We kind of joined on to the team in the early 20s, as some of the guys that established that team faded away. And so we continued that on. We've been to so many tournaments. You can't even count anymore. We saw the notifications, the advertisements to Play On in 2004 when you referenced the Hamilton tournament. And a group of us decided to go into it. We had no idea what we were getting into. It was amazing, so impressive what Scott did that year in its first existence there. And we ended up winning that tournament, as you mentioned, the Elite Division. I can picture that still, that championship game we were literally playing against some kids, some younger kids who made it to the final as well too. I think the score was 11-1 or something. We mercied them in the final, and it was to the point where we felt bad a little bit. You know, we wanted to play, but not, you know, run up the score or anything. But it was to the point where I can remember standing in the net that the kids' parents were like yelling at me about our players. They're like, you guys got to take it easy. And I'm just in net like, I can't control these guys. Like, you know, this is, we only know one speed, right? And the intensity was there. And yeah, like, and then we just continued on, obviously with Windsor, you know, being the highlight. We traveled to Victoria the year after to defend our title. But yeah, that's kind of how we got started. And such good memories that they're easy to remember.
Yeah, that's going to say, I think this core too, Brandon, as well. A lot of us, so Chev and I played minor hockey together. So we played in the Oshawa area and traveled all over for minor hockey. And then the guys, the rest of the Browns, the Bryant brothers and Craig, we all went to high school together. So we were in high school together, playing in local events then, both ice hockey and ball hockey. And then right from there, kind of transcended to ice hockey tournaments, then ball hockey. You know, the Bryants went to St. Mary's University, played hockey there. And then we just kept coming back every summer and playing as a team. And then just, you know, getting better and more, you know, I guess, acclimated with each other. But Chevy made a point about that one tournament. I say it's too, because we only do know one level, and it's the intensity's always ramped up. And the fans were literally swearing, throwing stuff. My family was in the crowd too, and they're like, what's going on here? And, you know, but we did the best we could and help out. But you could just see the passion for the sport at a young age for all the teams in that tournament. There would have been 20 or 30 in the elite division, and they just loved it. The fans loved it. The kids loved it. And we'll talk maybe more about that after with our kids. But, I mean, ball hockey in general, even more so than ice hockey, can be played anywhere pretty much. You got a stick in a running, you know, pair of running shoes and a ball. So the passion's there, and everybody loves to play it. Even if you can't play ice hockey, we play lots of soccer players that love playing the ball hockey. You know, every other sport, every nationality. That's the best part. When we play in Toronto and across Canada, every nationality plays it. It's so nice to see.
I guess that goes with the saying, you mess with a bull, you get the horns, right? That intensity level.
Yeah. We said that a few times in these tournaments, Brent, I tell you, you know, on and off the ice, but it's all good. It's good times.
Well, what about you, Sean?
I remember the first time I played. Well, I remember one time where, like we said, we grew up in Oshawa, and there was a league, an outdoor league at this place called Willow Park. They got a lacrosse ball, and they had a league going. This is when we're in high school, right? This is ball hockey. And the week before, I didn't know Mike. He was a few years younger than me. And our family, our parents were away having a little party, and I see this guy in the backyard. It's surprising Mike doesn't have a tank top on tonight, because that's good. All
I love it, Brownie.
I look in my backyard, and he was friends with my sister, and I see this guy with a pink hat and a pink tank top, and he's doing push-ups, and I'm like, who the hell is this guy? And then he's like, oh, I play in this ball hockey league, and I think the guy is going to be crap, right? Like, dude, weirdo. Anyways, then we played him the next week, and the guy is just dancing through everybody. So, you know, when we got teams together, I was like, get that guy with the tank top. And, you know,
the pink one.
Kind of went from there. And we're not just great, but lots of good stories. We'll see if we get into any of them or we can. But yeah.
Awesome. See, I'm already laughing. We're only a couple minutes in here. That's awesome. Tell us, guys, for people that haven't been to a PlayOn event, what is it like? What's the atmosphere like? Can you share about that?
Yeah, we've been fortunate that Oshawa's hosted some tournaments. But it's a different vibe than like an ice hockey or ball hockey tournament, because it's out on the street. So once you park your car and start making your way to where the tournament is, like, you can literally feel the excitement, the atmosphere, the energy as you're getting closer to it. And, you know, I've talked with Scott about this a few times. Like, you turn the corner and you see the fences up, you see the, you know, the nets, you see the people. Like, it's just amazing. Like, it's hard to describe, but like, you can feel the energy from blocks away, literally. And, you know, Scott does an amazing job hosting it. Like, it's amazing how he does it, to organize all those people. You know, the vendors and tents and referees and players and everything. But yeah, like, you can feel the atmosphere from blocks away.
Yeah, I would echo that sentiment too. I say, you know, I mean, Edmonton had, when we did it too, there was 400 teams, I believe, in Edmonton. You guys probably heard about this. So there are so many teams across the country, like Oshawa and Toronto, and they all have hundreds of teams. The East Coast and the West Coast has a lot. And the intensities always ratchet up. So it's always like from the get-go, you have to be on your game all the time. So as you know, there's seven players, 3-on-3 with, you know, two lines. And it's always, always nonstop. And I said, to organize it all, to be on your game, to see everybody who comes to watch it, it's nonstop action, right? And you literally go, you could play like one game break and you're playing again. And sometimes it's in 35 degree heat, right? So it's hot and sunny, or we were in Windsor, we won that one. And it was a snowstorm. Have you seen some of the videos online? I know, Brownie, you have a video there, but it was literally a snowstorm. And we're literally falling all over the place, you know, like, yeah, you touch somebody and they go flying 8 feet because it's slippery, and it's just different elements all the time. And you don't usually get that, obviously, in a ball hockey, you know, barn, or if you're on an ice hockey rink, you know what you're getting. This year, you battle everything from the people to the stands. Like, there's lots of stories of the fans getting crazy, as you said, but the elements are huge, right? And they're different per every venue. Like, some could be total rain, right? So it's a great experience, and one that everybody can enjoy. And I think that's the best part, and everybody can watch, right? So some of these games had hundreds, if not thousands, of people, especially Victoria, watching, right? Because they put the stands up, and it's a great atmosphere.
Yeah, I think they do just a great event. It's a great event because they got all ages, all skill levels. And yeah, and like Chevy was saying too, you can just feel the atmosphere. Just, you know, everyone's having a good time. They're in. Generally, they're during the summer or warmer weather, because pulling them off in the winter in Canada is pretty tough to do. But yeah, just a great event for everyone. Yeah. And yeah, Scott did a great job.
It tell me about the championship in Victoria, where you went to go defend the title. What was that like traveling, which I'm assuming is pretty far for you guys, being based out of Oshawa? What was the mindset coming into that tournament? Did you feel pressure coming in as the reigning champs? Sean, yeah. I'll start with you. Or
go ahead,
Mike. Mike's good with these.
Yeah. Actually, no, Brent. It's funny you say it. A couple stories come to mind. Being the reigning champs, and I didn't pick up on this, but we're going through the airport, right, in Victoria, and people actually recognized us. And I'm not joking. My wife said, "Hey, they're looking over at you," or whatever, they're saying stuff. And I'm like, nah, but they recognize people. And a lot of these tournaments, you get asked for autographs, right? So Victoria was that, the airport was that too, and it was different. It was different. You're coming to reign champs. The story, I don't even know if these guys know, and I'll tell it to you because it sticks out in my mind, because I still tell my kids this day. So we're in Victoria. My oldest son at the time, my stepson, Jacob, we're sleeping in a double bed together. Right? Heather's with the baby, and he throws up all over me the night before. So he's sick. So he threw up all in the bed. Maids are there at 3 o'clock in the morning cleaning the beds, because it wasn't a good scene. That gets better. Then all of a sudden we go swimming the next day in the pool, right? So with my son Caden, who's, I don't know, a couple years old at the time, he throws up in the pool. I don't know if I don't know where we're at this time. Hopefully I don't know this, but he throws up in the pool. They have to evacuate the whole pool. So so now everybody's mad because their swimming's been up. So I wasn't sick, but the family was sick on that tournament, the two boys. And then as we're heading home again, going through the tunnel onto the plane, you know, after we unfortunately lost in the semis or quarters or something, my other boy throws up on me in the tunnel going to the plane. And once you're through the tunnel, there's no coming back ever. So I sat 5 hours with my kids vomit all over me. So that turn I remember is the kids being sick, not a lot of sleep, and unfortunately we didn't win it, but it was still a great experience. And when you go into those tournaments, people do know who you are, and then they'll talk and they'll come at you really hard, right? So that's the way it should be. You got to earn everything you get.
Yeah. I thought you were coming on to Michael Jordan flu game there. Stuff like that.
Oh, no. There's a few of those. Mike never had those, so. No. That was the rest of the team.
Yeah. No, it was really good, but it was.
I got thrown up on in bed too, but it was a Bryant brother.
That's true.
And what about playing in front of the fans? I know you said there was like fans along the sides of the rink there, and playing in front of all these people. What was that like? Just so many eyes on you in this tournament, especially being the reigning champs. That's probably a bit of a target too, as well.
Yeah, and in Victoria, that was probably the best well-attended spectator tournament for Play On. There was tons of people there, you know, like Mike said, they had the bleacher set up. So, you know, there was, it felt like a stand, but again, with it being outside, you know, the sound just, you know, travels so much more. And it was impressive. We were, you know, the one that everyone was gunning after. You know, it was a long trip and we would do it again in a heartbeat. You know, for myself anyway, and for the rest of the guys, like we felt a sense of responsibility to go and defend our title too, you know, as much for Scott and for the tournament as everyone else. But for ourselves as well, you know, we had expectations to be in the finals again. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. Yeah, I can't remember if it was quarters or semis, but there was definitely, you know, that was probably the toughest tournament because, you know, we were the reigning champs and everyone was kind of after us or knew who we were anyway. There was no surprises. We weren't able to, you know, sneak up on anyone.
Gunnar, you want to go Brownie?
No, I mean, the teams there were good. Vancouver, I think a lot of, like, the East Indian teams are really, really good. Same as some parts of Toronto, but I think that's who won it that year, no?
Yeah.
I mean, they're just excellent teams. So that's why, yeah, it brings in different cultures. Maybe they have different background, but they're great ball hockey teams. So that's who I think got us that.
How about you, Mike?
I was just going to say, yeah, I don't think so. When, you know, obviously, maybe it hurt, maybe Scarlett. So the Bulls had a reputation, right? So they played hard, right? So every time they played hard, so we had different elements who obviously had to play. So you play, some games were tough, some games were more skill, some games were a variation. But that also lends you to the fact of being even more of a target, because when you play teams that are geared up to play with you, it can get very physical and the crowd can get on that too, right? So the crowd's kind of wanting you to lose because that's the way you play. So if there's a lot of body contact, and Scott will probably tell you that, if there's a lot of physical play, the crowd's going to get on you. So if you get, you know, if you get a big hit or somebody does that to you, and even though it's not technically allowed, the crowd will get on you, right? Like, you're going down by a couple goals, they'll really get on our team, because that's, you know, that's what we brought upon ourselves, but that's the style of game that we all played, right? And the crowd, some were other teams, some were fans, some were friends of the team we were playing, right? And I remember sometimes, and it's silly, but there was even verbal matches going on with us playing on the rink with fans. So they're like, they're taunting us, right? And saying, and I don't know why, you know, maybe during the middle of a play, but, you know, some of the teammates were actually talking to the fans in a, you know, not confrontational, but, you know, giving it back to them, right? So it's really interactive. Like, it is so interactive. And that's the beauty of it, right? Because you can't do that in ice hockey games much, or in a big indoor ball hockey tournament, right? Because there's the glass and the boards and all that stuff.
You guys made it to the finals a lot and played some really tough teams. Do you have a team in mind that was the toughest to play against during a play-on event?
Yeah, I think, well, we had a good battle with the Lemon Muffins, right? The Scarborough Lemon Muffins. We, in some of the Toronto area tournaments, we always, you know, battled against them. It was a controversial shootout victory in the quarterfinals, I think, in Windsor that year that we won. You know, prevailed. But we had some good battles against them. A couple of the Montreal teams in Niagara Falls we played that were quite good.
They had the red light players on it, right?
Yeah, and then in Victoria there, you know, with the Vancouver guys, you know, on their home turf kind of thing was tough too. But every year the tournament got better and better with the caliber of teams. Like, it, you know, from 2004 when we first started, you know, when I think, you know, like I said, we mercied the team in the finals there. Like, every year after that, you know, in the elite division, there was no mercies. Like, there are always tight games. And to Mike's point, the, you know, the weather or the fans or the curb came into play. It could be a difference maker in a game. But yeah, the Lemon Muffins, I guess, would be the top of choice. And I think one of the London teams, we always had some good battles with in the local tournaments and at the nationals too.
Yeah. I was going to say as well, the Calgary teams, because the Calgary team, we had lost, and you mentioned it, you know, earlier. In the finals, 4-3. I remember that game went down. I think there was some penalties in that game too. We beat them in the quarters, right, in Windsor. So we kind of got revenge on them. They had a good team. I mean, they added some good players. And then the Montreal teams, as you probably heard, the Red Light, they're a really good indoor ball hockey team. So after we played them a lot, there are variations. So they always mix their teams up and they went as a different team and mix players up, like, to try and get the best dynamics of the team. But I think after us, they won it a couple years in a row, right? The Red Light guys. And so they were always good and challenging. We lost to them in Niagara Falls in the semis, I believe, and they went on to win the tournament. So lots of good teams. And Chev said, there's lots of good players, both ice hockey and then Team Canada ball hockey players, right? So most of these guys have played Team Canada. A lot of them we played, they played ice hockey at the highest levels. I mean, Crosby's been in this tournament. McDavid's been in this tournament. McKinnon's been in this tournament. We've played a lot of them, and we play some of them in our indoor league too, like Wayne Simmonds and the guys. And so a lot of them have been in this tournament, and they're very good players, obviously. It's just a different – it's a different dynamic, right, when you're playing so fast and so, you know, so few players in such a small space.
Right. How about you, Sean?
Tough. The one team that wasn't mentioned, I'd say, was the Winnipeg that we played in the final.
Yeah.
In Windsor. It was a great game. I mean, we tied it with, I don't know how many seconds were left, 12 seconds or something?
Yeah. Yep,
something so like they that. Really, I mean, they were right there with us. So they were a great team. Yeah.
Yeah, good call.
And guys, tell me, like you've been in this tournament for a long time. What are some of the differences you started to notice between that first tournament in 04 to the last one you guys participated in? A bit of a doozy of a question. I don't know, Sean.
Caliber be the first thing that pops to mind in the elite division. It went from a 2 or a 3 to a 10. And then just different strategies, I think, probably as you play, as you do years and years of playing it, you know, you learn where to put the ball and just certain plays that work and don't work and how to defend a lead. And little things like that, you learn the game, right? Mm-hmm. And then the events got bigger. They got bigger and bigger to the point where, I think it was the biggest event in Canada, wasn't it? The biggest tournament or festival or whatever. So just the size of it kept getting bigger as well.
Yeah, I would say exactly right. So it'd go from, you know, maybe having 10 or 20 teams in an elite division, right, per region, to having, you know, dozens, if not, you know, 100 teams in the elite division. And, you know, everybody's gunning for it. I said, because there was actually a cash award too. If you won the elite division in certain years, you'd get quite a hefty financial award. And so when you start bringing obviously some money into it and stuff like that, you're going to get everybody and anybody coming to try and find the best strategy, like Sean said, on how to win these things, right? Because even though it's skill and positioning and teamwork and tenacity and all that kind of stuff, there's little things like if the ball goes out, you have certain rules on how to get it back in quick enough, right? There's little nuances to the game that aren't normal, you know, unless it's intuitive and subconsciously programmed into you to do it, right? And like, for example, Brown, you made a good point. We were playing Winnipeg. Check this out. We tied it. We pulled Chevy. We're down 2-1. We score with 9 seconds left. I think it was 9 or 10, Brown. You're right, right? So a few seconds left. We're cheering. The other team's smart enough. They take the ball because there's no face-off. There's no whole whistle. There's no celebrate. They take the ball and fire it all the way down the ice on an open net, right? So because we couldn't get our fourth guy off. Thank God they missed. But Chevy had to jump on, right, and get that fourth player off at the sideline. Like they could have literally won it with 5 seconds left because, you know, there's no goal in the net. And that's how fast it happens, right? So the nuances play an immense role in the tournament, right, and learning that. But caliber's a big one for sure.
And of course, I have to ask this. I've been staring at this probably the entire interview, those play-on hockey pads. Can you just dive into detail with those? They're pretty snazzy looking, I might add.
Yeah, I know.
Go ahead.
It's a pretty awesome prize. The year we won was right before Scott introduced the cash prizes. So the guys got sticks and gloves, I believe. And then Scott pulled out these pads. And they're, you know, I've been fortunate enough to win, you know, a couple gold medals for playing and coaching ball hockey. But this is like my most sacred trophy, most valuable trophy. The only time I've ever worn them is at the Dragon's Den pitch that we did for Play On. I don't know if Scott filled you in on that, but we can talk about that. But that's the only time I've ever put them on. I consider them a trophy. And there's only one pair ever made. I told Scott when he makes a Play On Hall of Fame somewhere in a physical building, I'd be happy to donate them back to him. They're an awesome, awesome item. I get when people come over to the house, I have them on display in the man cave there. And just a awesome, awesome award to get.
As a former goalie, I'm so jealous of those pads. They look unbelievable.
They're
great.
They're hand stitched. They're it's all it's, I don't know if you can see it too well, but it's all hand stitched. And you can see they're pretty much brand new. Like I said, only worn them once, but yeah, it was a pretty awesome trophy to receive there for sure. I felt bad that guys got sticks and gloves, which were very nice, like they were good quality stuff, but and I'm walking out with this back to the car kind of thing, back to the hotel, and I felt bad for the guys that's what I was walking home with.
Don't worry about it, I'll steal them.
Yeah.
Just stay in my house.
If you're listening to this, because obviously the video is going to go on YouTube, but if you're listening to this, there are two white pads. They have a Play On logo right in the middle and a Hockey Night in Canada logo right at the end. So they're pretty fashionable. I give Scott Hill lots of credit on that.
Yeah, for sure. They're sharp. Very sharp.
And tell me guys about the Redwood Cup. I myself have yet to seen this. Have yet to see this trophy. I'm just wondering, what was it like to win it? What's the trophy like? Tell me about this Redwood Cup.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, Brownie.
When we won it, I might not have had a full night's sleep. So it was a long day with five games. And then trying to lift it, man. This thing was heavy. It was embarrassing. Like, it is... I don't know if I was just tired or weak, but yeah, it's a proper trophy, worthy of a national championship for sure. And getting our names on it there, and they put it in the Hockey Hall of Fame, was pretty cool for a little bit. I think they had it in there for a year or something.
Yeah, it's actually funny you say it, Brownie. And just saying, it's heavy. It is heavy, and we fill it up with a lot of stuff that night, in the hotel. But it's a little story because my family actually went down to the Hockey Hall of Fame I was working, and they browned it to your point. And it was in the Hockey Hall of Fame with jerseys and gloves and stuff, but it wasn't the year we won. It was the year Calgary beat us. So they come home saying, "Hey, Dad, I seen this Redwood Cup in the Hockey Hall of Fame," and said they beat the Bulls 4-3 in the finals. What's going on with that? So I was like, yeah. Well, I don't know what I said to them, probably a few choice words, but it sat there for a little while. It's made of beautiful redwood. I mean, Scott's got the history behind it, and it's just a glorious trophy. He brought it down. Was it last year, Chevy, for our 10-year anniversary? It's beautiful, stunning, heavy, well worth it, well put together, and it's going to come back. I know it will, and it will sit in some Hall of Fame, if not the one downtown Toronto, in the years to come, because it's hard to win, and it's really well put together, and so many people will buy for it, right? Like, to this day, everybody talks about wanting to win it. We didn't give it to Chevy. He didn't get it. We lifted Chevy.
Yeah. it's big, but when you guys see it, you'll be like, that's a trophy. Like, that is a national championship trophy. Like, it's big. It's Stanley Cup big size wise, and it's quite impressive.
And then the year we won it, they actually was part of Hockey Day in Canada, so they're flashing back all day long, right? So they flashed in when we scored the winning goal. And yeah, it was just, all I remember is, yeah, we lifted the trophy, then going back to the phone. And then you didn't really know what was on and what wasn't on the TV, but getting all the texts from people saying they saw it on Hockey Night in Canada, or Hockey Day in Canada. And it's just like, all you want to do is play ball hockey when you're a kid growing up with the older kids on the street. And then for it to be on Hockey Night in Canada was kind of mind blowing in a way, to win the championship in that way. With Ron McLean calling the goal.
Hey, yeah. Hey, Brownie, did you see that video? And do you know who scored the winning goal?
I think I'm responsible for 3/4 of the views on YouTube on that.
People come over to Brownie's house for Christmas. He's got it playing in the background.
It's on a constant loop. Yeah.
It was a beautiful goal, Brownie. I'll tell you that much. That's
Throughout this conversation, guys, I just keep thinking of the word competitiveness. And a few moments ago, just talked about Dragon's Den, which is very competitive. And we had Griffin and Warren Harvey come on the podcast to talk about their Dragon's Den experience. But for this question, Chevy, why did you participate in the pitch with Play On Canada for Dragon's Den? And how did you feel after the show? Loaded question.
Oh, no, I remember that day, to a T. Scott asked, and, whenever Scott asks something, the answer is always yes, It's such a great guy, and it's amazing what he's done. But I remember that day. Like I said, that's the only time I put the pads on. Actually fractured my ankle the day before in a men's hockey game. And it was like 6 hours we were at the studio you know, waiting to go on with all the other pitches that were happening. And it was actually during one of the NHL playoffs. So, some of the newscaster guys, Kelly Rudy and Ron McLean and all them, were kind of walking by and talking to us. We actually started, because it was 6 hours, like, we were waiting around. We actually, like, started a ball hockey game, like, in the studio back area, which was pretty funny because, you know, I think it held the record for the most people on stage for Dragons Den. There had to be like 70, 80 of us there that, you know, basically Scott put out the invite and everyone responded and said yes. So we had kids there, some ladies from the women's teams, some guys from the men's teams and stuff. But, you know, what I remember most about that, you know, we walked out to do sort of the dry run. The Dragon people were not in their chairs. We just kind of got the dry run to get a sense of where to stand and all that kind of stuff. And then we circled back into the backstage area and we were ready to go out and everyone started chanting Scott's name, like, you know, getting them pumped up to go. And, you know, Scott actually shed a few tears. A few people did as well too. Like, it was just such a cool moment. All these people there spending their Saturday, you know, the cost of going to Toronto for some of them, you know, there was guys from London you know, Kingston and everything that had come. So it was just a good, genuine moment there for Scott. You know, one of the guys offered him like, you know, $1 million or something like that. And they were going back and forth on the negotiations. And him and his wife went into that back room and discussed it and came back out and accepted the position or accepted the offer. And we were all freaking out. Like, we were so happy for him and stuff. And I guess it fell through, you know, through the minor details that happens after the show. They were foolish not to jump on board, you know, those Dragons there. And it was a really cool experience.
I have a two-part question for you guys to wrap this up because we're running out of time. I've been asking everybody so far, in five words or less, why does Canada need PlayOn to come back? And in your opinion, what corporate sponsors would be the best fit for this event across Canada?
Yeah, I, you know, five words or less, you know, community would be one. You know, I say that because you get teams from all over, but also the community that's hosting it, you know, plays a big part of it as well. You know, I guess Canada needs to, obviously with what's been going on the last year and a half, you know, PlayOn's needed more than ever to bring everyone back together. But yeah, it's tough. Like, Scott's a big part of it as well. You know, he has such a loyal following because him and his wife and family are such amazing people. Sponsorship wise, like, they should be knocking on his door like crazy, you know, following, offering anything to be a part of it. And I think because some sponsors haven't been a part of it before, or haven't been to an event, can't really appreciate what they see on paper. But any type of sponsors, you know, Canadian Tire, Bauer, those kind of guys for sure. But really anyone, you know, would be foolish to bypass being a part of the sponsorship wise with the event.
For me though, like, hockey, one of its challenges, hockey in general, is about being accessible and diversity, right? And those are two big things this tournament definitely provides. It's so accessible, more so that it's just a way for people who, tons of people love hockey, but it's not always accessible, right? PlayOn tournament is it's one of the times where hockey is so accessible. The nets are there, you just show up with your sticks and you go to it, and it's such an organic form of hockey. And it's going to bring in people. It's going to bring the sport to people that it needs to be brought to. Right? I think hockey needs to do a better job of that. Period. Like, just growing it. I love hockey. It's who I am. All of us are to a degree. But for it to continue to grow, it's got to reach out, and it's got to. It can't just be stagnant, and it can't just be about the, you know, the organized $5,000 to join hockey. Like, these little tournaments are fabulous ways for people to enter and compete in the hockey. So, and then, yeah, for sponsorship, it's endless. But yeah, like they were saying, I think anything that wants to identify as Canadian, can't get much more Canadian than that. So Canadian, you know, Canadian Tire, Tim Hortons, all those big companies, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, good point, Sasha. Five words, literally, just people need to be together. So people need to be together. And I those just came in when Chevy was talking. So I say that because, you know, with this COVID, right, and everybody, you know, being apart and the kids out of sports is really hurt a lot of them, even though, you know, some are homeschooled and whatever. But, you know, being a dad who coaches the kids and seeing it, when they get together, like my son was up in that Montreal Meltdown tournament 2 weeks ago, and I saw the kids. I have video of they're playing hockey, road hockey in the parking lot of the hotel at 11 p.m. at night. They were eliminated, so they could. There was no curfew that night, but they were literally playing ball hockey in the parking lot, and they were hugging each other after they scored a goal at 11 p.m. at night. Like, they were so excited, like they won the Stanley Cup in the parking lot on Saturday night. So they need that, right? They need to be together. They love the team, and they love the sports. They love the challenge, and there's different levels, right? Like Sean said, and there's different nationalities that want to play. They want to just get into it. There's different levels to it, but grassrooting it is how you're going to get sponsors, right? So I work for, I said, a big corporation, technology company should, sporting company should be involved, media companies. They just simply need to know it's there, like know it's out there, because a lot of them don't even know it exists, right? Unfortunately. And when you grassroot it, the kids will love it. Like being in Whitby Minor Hockey for my kids, if I told half the parents that I work, that I talk to, they don't even know the tournament existed. When it went on, they're like, what? What's this? So if they hear more about it, as soon as they hear about it, they want to go do it. It's just getting the exposure out and the marketing out to this, all these communities that either a soccer field, an ice hockey tournament, or the minor hockey. Because I've been on the calls with the mayors and they want to do this. I was on with Dan from Mayor Bosch, and he's all on board for this once, you know, these protocols lift, right? And they just grassrooting it with the young kids, and they will get out there and do it. And the numbers will be double and triple what they were a couple years ago and 5 years ago. Guarantee it. It did really well without, I'd say 30% of the people even knowing about it. It's crazy.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys. This has been amazing. And it definitely sounds like there needs to be a Play On After Dark podcast with the stories slowly trickling out with you guys.
Yeah.
And the Bryants and Brownie would have a good few stories, that's for sure. Get the Bryants back on.
Thank you, guys. We can't thank you enough for doing this. This was a great conversation. Every word just I listened to, and it was just fantastic. So thank you very much for doing this. We hope to meet you at a Play On event once it comes back. And hopefully you guys won't have us on your team, but we'll definitely be cheering for you.
Thank Brandon, Vince, thank you guys so much for having us. It's our pleasure. Anytime, we're here to help. That's what we do, and grow the game. And you guys are amazing. Thanks for having us. Great hosting, great questions, as always. So thank you guys.